Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I'm going to be juggling three different things here. I've got my notes on my Kindle. I just have my notes really to be able to read some of the Bible verses. The rest is going to be very personal, but let's just open with some prayer. Dear Father, thank you that we can call you Father, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. I ask that you bless the words out of my mouth, Lord, that nothing come out of my mouth that you wouldn't want. And these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today's message, as you can tell from the little box that the kitten person is in, is adopted. So we're just going to see where that comes in the Bible, just briefly, and then just really try to figure out what that means to us in our lives. Okay, so Ephesians 1:5 says, "In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will." Then Galatians 4:4-7 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we may receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." So today we are exploring the aspect of God as God the Father. God has many aspects. God is our Lord and our King. But God is also our Father. Now, and that means that we have more of a relationship with him. We have the ability to go to him like no one else can go to them. We have that privilege. Now, he is still our King and Lord, and we're not equal to God. But, you know, we can also take on attributes of God: his love, his kindness, his patience, his generosity. You know, we take those things into us as children, as adopted children. We take on the way he raises us. Now, for some people, they have made it to where we often get our idea of what the relationship should look like from a dysfunctional source. And that's my story this morning. That's my story this morning, because not all, you know, father-child relationships or parent-child relationships, depending on the parent, are healthy. And unfortunately, a lot of our idea of God the Father has been twisted by the brokenness of the world, the fact that we're in that fallen state. And the church, unfortunately, did pick that up and has turned it into an institution of just creating this relationship where God is an angry father that's out to beat you every time you do something wrong. And that's kind of where I come in. See, I did not have a good parental relationship with my father. My father, when he did acknowledge me, it was mostly just to tell me odd things, just stuff that just was not okay. He would teach me things of the way he viewed the world. And I'm not saying this of all non-believers, but he himself was a very staunch atheist, and he would tell me all kinds of things about religions that were not true. I found out later that they were not true. And I was an atheist until I was 16, but I was more an open-minded one. It was like, because we would explore like everybody's stuff at school. It would be like this one, I was in a very diverse school system, so it was like I got to meet a lot of different people of a lot of different faiths, and so it was like I was just exploring. It's like, okay, well, what do you believe? Okay, I don't believe that way, you know. It was that kind of experience for me. But, and my father was also emotionally abusive to me. And he, like I said, he would say things that were not okay. And so later on, when we got him out of the house because he was going to kill us, and I had started making my own decisions about my spirituality and what I actually believed about the world, things started changing. And then when I got saved, it was like the whole reason, one of the things that I even started listening to Christians, because at that point I had had some not very nice interactions with Christians. They were not very nice people in my school. They called me Voodoo, Satan, and the Atheist, among other things. So it was like I did not have a good view of Christianity up until I had gotten dragged into a retreat that was only for believers, that somehow I managed to get dragged into that. And, well, I was glad, because I can't repeat anything that was said there, because everyone shared personal stories. And it's a privacy thing. It's like I still remember some of the pivotal things. But one person spoke of God as God the Father that one day. And that's when I perked up. It's like, you mean I get to have a father again? I get to have a father? And that's what drew me in. Well, later on, my family had all started going with their friends to this conservative church in the town that their friends went to. And I was like, well, a church is a church. When I came out of that retreat, I was like, well, I'll just go to this one. Unfortunately, that was not probably the healthiest route for me, but I learned a lot, so I'm not going to regret that. But God started morphing into someone who could be disappointed in me for not doing what he wanted me to do. And what he wanted me to do often was what the church wanted me to do. And so it really strained it. And it got to a point, finally, when I had gone into it, we had gone to another church that was even more conservative. It was so conservative that people with certain genitalia had to wear dresses in the congregation, and you could not wear anything else in the congregation but a dress. No female teachers or anything else, unless you were teaching a women's only class, that kind of thing. And it really, really strained the relationship I had with God. And to the point where when I, even though God did try to tell me that this was wrong and I needed to go somewhere else, among other things, and I just didn't listen. I thought that was my own crazy thoughts, because I was so sucked into this church. And when I broke off, finally, I went and studied all kinds of alternative religions, and I got very heavy into the Gnostic Gospels. But, you know, I still loved Jesus, and I still loved God my Father. I still did, and it's like I could not let go. I couldn't. And it's like that's why I went into Gnosticism, because it's like, you know, it took away a lot of the church trappings and whatnot, really was a personal thing. Unfortunately, I also got really puffed up and full of myself during that time period too. Which was to be expected, because, you know, knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies, as the King James says. So coming back here, when I first started coming to Jesus, people, that's really when God started being my father again. And I learned something very important, that, see, it wasn't all their fault that I took on these things. I had a choice. That was not them necessarily forcing that on me. I sat there and listened to it. I sat there and took it for years. I sat there and took it at these churches for 9 years from the date I was saved. 9 years, 4 in one church, 5 in another. And so, and because of our broken relationships, I saw that as normal. I saw that as perfectly normal. I mean, because it's like I had a very messed up version of what a relationship should be. Very messed up. And so it's like, but I think that really corrected it, because I could not take any more once I had been subjected to the extremes of that. So it was a good learning lesson. I think God really pulled me out of this like that. And you know, and back on human relationships, you know, a lot of human relationships, you know, we are dysfunctional. We have to control our progeny and whatnot in a lot of our relationships. But God always makes a promise that he will take care of us when others will not. So I've also got Psalm 27, verse 10 in here. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And, you know, God is not mad at you. Now, he might be upset if you're hurting yourself or others, but beyond that, God is not mad at you for who you are. That is, I'm kind of riding the coattails of Dr. Marino and Keith here in the past couple weeks, because we've actually been covering God as the aspect of the Father the past several weeks. And Dr. Marino said that I would have a now word. Well, this is the now word. God loves you. God did not create you the way you are to then reject you for the way that you are. You are important. You are loved. And you get the same privileges as anybody who is quote-unquote a normal person. Okay. Okay, if you're the default person, God loves you. If you're not the default person, God still loves you. God created you as not the default person, as a matter of fact, because there's so many default people. Exactly. Exactly. No. God has made a way for us, and it was a very expensive way. Because God gave everything up in his Son for us. God gave everything up just to rekindle the relationship that we broke off. That we had to be redeemed out of the situation we got ourselves in. So don't let anybody take that away from you, because that is a very, very precious, expensive gift, and we can't be sitting here telling this person that they can and this person that they cannot. That's just wrong. It's wrong. It's like, no, you're a child. You are a child of God. And you get to wear a crown. And that really wraps it up, because that's the only thing that I have to say, because that's the only thing that really matters. That's the only thing that matters. And these things I leave in your hands. Thanks, everybody.